Hey, welcome again to Not About Us Studies. Again, sorry it's been so long since we've been podcasting. Life always gets in the way. But hey, we're glad we could be here today. And today we have a very special guest. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Hello, I'm Larry.
Cool. And so just want to jump in. Do you have anything to say before we start, Brad?
Hey, I'm Scott.
Oh, I'm going to do that, but anything you want to just jump in right now and just throw out that I'm like not thinking because it's been a while?
No, we'll get to, okay, so also I do that. I'll say no, I'll explain for 5 minutes why.
Okay.
So, no, but also, no, I'm just happy that we're here. I'm thankful that we have a special guest today and that I'm just looking forward to getting into it. So,
all right, so as always, I'm Scott.
And I'm Larry.
And I'm Brad. And this is Not About Us.
Okay, so anyway, thank you again for coming in. And like we said, we have a special guest, Larry. Now, you guys, last time, if you've seen my last Genesis podcast or our last conversation piece, you met Christian. Larry's from the same group, same Bible study. Do you want to say a little bit about that group or the church or anything about that?
Yes, I'm a member of the Kingdom Life Fellowship Ministry International. It is also on YouTube. And
yes.
A part of our ministry for men that we do is we have a fellowship called Iron Sharpens Iron.
Yeah.
And during that, the main thing is just keeping it real. You know, we don't get very religious about it. We don't try to dive too deep in word functionality and all that, but about life, about victories, and about failures, you know, because that's what our life is. Our life is being victorious and being failure and getting through it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we all do want to know in ourselves that we are actually living for Jesus, submitting ourselves one to another, you know, in fellowship and support, and that we can actually get through this life being victorious in Jesus' name, you know, and living as a Christian, you know, without compromise. And it's very good because you can feel it's okay to be wrong. You know, and it's okay to actually submit and share, you know, what you go through, whatever that is. Because life is life, you know. We can't sugarcoat life. It comes to us just as it is. But we know and encourage one another, as Jesus said, he is the way, the truth, and the life, that we'll be able to actually live that. You know, to not feel that we cannot accomplish what God has brought us to do. You know, and not only that he has actually empowered us, you know, to live a Christian life, to live a life of truth, you know, knowing that we're not in it just by ourselves, but that just as Jesus left and he said, I'll send the Holy Ghost and he will help you. He's our helper. He's our instructor. And we need that assistance, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. You know, Jesus said he must go. He said if he did not leave, the Holy Ghost will not come. So this was a priority of Jesus. And we are walking and living in that priority right now, knowing that this is one of the promises that Jesus gave that came to fruition. You know, it's a truth in our lives and living, you know, that we have a God who tells us things that he's going to do and does it. And it is a reality. You know, it's not just Mary Poppins or Walt Disney or whatever.
Right.
You know, the life we're living is very true, is very real. Mm-hmm. And
gets dirty sometimes.
Yeah, it gets dirty sometimes, but we can also be actually an overcomer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just as God tells us in the Word, you know, if you are weak, let the weak say I'm strong. You know, God wants us to be in the place of confidence in who he is and in whom he created us to be, that we not walk around with failure, you know, wonder if I'm ever going to make it, because things get bad, you know, and we all go through it. It's universal. If you are a breathing human being on this planet, you're going to have hardship in your life. whether you're a Christian or not, but it's so much better having Jesus and having brothers and sisters who are living the life as a community unto God to help each other to live this life. You know, it's not a life of being a bone on your own, but it's a life of knowing where if I fail or you see someone else who's failed and they've come in their life of victory, that it's available for you as well, you know? I want to say one more thing really quick.
Absolutely.
One thing we have to deal with, I've dealt with it, I know a lot of us do, where the Word of God says, if your conscience condemns you, God is greater than your conscience, and he does not. And some of us have lived a life of failure, to be honest. But because of that, we think we have to be at a certain place to even come to God's presence, you know, to get him to help us. Because we think we have to earn that.
Yeah.
But that's not something that we earn, because it's called righteousness when you're made right with God. The Bible tells us that is a gift. So it's even in God's gift and his goodness toward us that we are able to repent, which means to change your mind about some things you're doing wrong. You know, the Bible also tells us that God will work in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Because I know there's been times in my life when I was not willing to do the right thing, plain honest. But even in that, God does not leave us alone to try to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
But he says he'll work in us both to will and to do of good pleasure. So, you know, we have so much great promises of God to help us to be victorious, to help one another, where failure, although you experience it, it will not be a permanent part of your life. It will be what's called a season. You know, you may have a season of failure, but in that season, there's always that way out that God makes. You know, there's always a way he can make you be an overcomer in your life. So even if you feel you're in a way where you don't know as much as some other person, or you don't feel like you're justified, you don't feel like you're holy, you know, you don't feel like you're perfect. Well, we know we ain't perfect. However, God himself, through what Jesus has done, makes a way for us. Because when there is no way, guess what? Jesus makes the way. He said he's the way, the truth, and the life. So, you know, just be encouraged to submit yourself to Jesus, because he's going to make it happen in your life. If you're unwilling, he'll work in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You know, he'll work that in your life. So even in that, it's not an excuse. You know, you feel that you're weak and you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't make up my mind. I keep choosing the wrong thing. It's temporary. It's only temporary. Jesus is the truth. And he said, you are more than an overcomer and a conqueror in Jesus Christ. It's available, it's real, and believe that. You know, and I'm going to say this one more time. If your conscience condemns you, God is greater than your conscience. So if he's greater than that, yield to that, believe that, and understand that his mercy is greater than anything you're going through. But he's willing to go through these things with you for you to change and become an overcomer, because the goal is being like Jesus and being in the kingdom and being confident, not only confident in God, but having confidence for what God has brought you to out of your old self. The enemy, who we know is Satan, and demons and devils are real, and we're going to discuss some of that too. Far as getting out of that to be able to overcome.
Man.
Thank you.
Now we're going to pray. I'm going to have Brad, you pray over real quick. But before that, I want to say, in the conversation piece, I'm going to save this for the conversation piece, but I wanted to bring up a couple things to you that you didn't know about, ways that you've ministered to me and things that have happened.
Really? Okay.
And you ministered and you didn't realize what I was going through, and I wanted to share kind of stuff that you didn't know.
Oh, that's great.
But the reason I bring that up is because right now, what you just said, I'm sitting here smiling because I'm going, oh my gosh, he is talking about this and that and things I'm just about to bring up.
Amen.
And I'm like,
praise
that
the Lord.
Was just like
that's great.
Confirmation. I'm like, you are right here where I'm going.
Thank you, Jesus.
And so Brad, if you would pray us in, that would be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, then, first of all, I would say that's very important, because the situations that you described are situations that I have experienced in my life, thinking that I had to be at a certain point before I could even come, feeling ashamed to go before God, knowing the things that I have done, and you know, it's reassuring. I like getting this stuff out there because people, when you're in a situation, a lot of times you think you're the only one that's going through this.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so when you hear other people also have been through this and they found a way to overcome with the help of Jesus, I mean, this is beautiful. So thank you for all of that.
Thank you. Amen.
Father, Jesus, Spirit,
yes.
Thank you. Thank you for this time.
Thank you
for bringing us together. As always, when two or more are gathered in your name, you're also in there.
Amen.
And we trust that and we believe that and we appreciate that because we can't do this without you.
Amen.
This needs to be about you, so we need you to help guide us.
Yes.
Let the words that are true and that are from you, let that take seed. Let that be planted in the hearts of the people listening. But if there's anything that is said that is not from you, if it's anything that's from man, help us decipher that and throw it away.
Yes, Lord.
Don't let that be planted. Thank you, thank you, thank you for this day.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for this time. Thank you for our special guest. And as always, we give you all the respect, all the worship, and all the love that we can, even the finite amount that we have as mere humans. But we give it to you. We praise your name. We praise your story. We praise what you've done for us and what you're going to do and what you continue to do every day. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Wow. Now, before we get started, I just want to say really quickly, have you guys ever gone to a movie or something, and you're like 20 minutes into the movie and suddenly like the opening credits come up and you're like, holy cow, how I feel like that right now.
True.
Wow, the movie's just starting. Anyway, today I'm not doing a Genesis study. I felt something else on my heart. I'm going to share everything I know about women. And that's all. We're done. Thank you for coming. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm joking. But no, seriously, God had laid on my heart to talk about women. And the reason, let me get into a little bit of what brought me to this real quick, just to explain why I'm here, why I left Genesis for the time being and came to this. And actually, it was right after one of the Wednesday Bible studies.
Mm-hmm.
I get in the car with my son Matthew,
mm-hmm.
Who was supposed to, he was planning on being here today, but he's at a he's with a friend celebrating his birthday. So Matthew, if you're watching, hope you guys had a great birthday. And Calvin and Alex, hope everything went well. But he just out of the blue, Matthew goes, "So what do you think about a woman's place in ministry?"
Mm.
And I'm taken aback. I had to admit, I really haven't thought about it.
Right.
I hadn't seriously considered it at all. And we had a little bit of a discussion on the way back home, but he asked me to look into some things that he had been checking out and just talk to him about it. And to be quite honest and frank, I didn't really care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a subject that was not on my heart. It was a subject I didn't really care about. I'm not saying it wasn't important. It's just I was in other places digging into other things.
Right.
And so I kind of looked into some of his stuff, went back, gave him a half-hearted answer, and kind of went, yeah, that's all. And I was planning on moving on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happened was after that, I started to go back into Genesis, and it was just like nothing was there. It was just like I had a blank wall. I had all these questions about some things I was reading, but I was getting no answers. It was just like, it was just dead. I was getting no inspiration. I was like, what's going on? But my heart kept coming back to what my son had interjected.
Right.
And one of the things, I want to shout this out real quick. For those of you who don't know who Mike Winger is, encourage you to look him up, check him out. This was one of the things my son, reason he brought this up, is he's been checking out a guy online named Mike Winger. He's got a lot of stuff over a lot of different subjects, but this is one that he'd done recently, and my son asked me to check it out. And he has about an hour and a half piece that's just like a nutshell summary mm-hmm. of his position on women in ministry, followed by like an 8 to 10 hour series. So it's a okay. very extensive.
Right.
And so all I did was watch that little introduction piece and then go to my son and say, well, this is what I think, you know, about this, and kind of let it go. But as I was thinking about that, I kept thinking, now, first of all, I'm going to shout him out. The reason I'm shouting him out is because my experience with him on this and some other things I've seen of him is my perception that he's a man who is honestly trying to do what God says. So he's mm-hmm. as perfect as we all are, and we all know how perfect we are.
Yeah.
So am I saying he's infallible? No, not at all. But I believe he's the kind of person who honestly says, God, show me who you are. And he's not accepting who he thinks, who he wants God to be. Mm-hmm. He's not accepting what society says God should be. He's not accepting what the church says God should be. He's going to God and letting God define God.
When he is debating, a lot of times he'll debate other positions. And what he's doing is he's taking it back to what does the Word say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's always what is God's opinion on this matter.
Right. Yeah.
Which is makes him more trustful then.
Yeah.
Because he's trying to not just rely on his own
right.
you mm-hmm. know, knowledge.
Mm-hmm. So I appreciate him very much. But in this introductory piece, what kept nagging at me is I was like, I imagine, okay, if there's a step one, step two, step three, like step 1 to 10 to get to this answer, I felt like he jumped in at stage 4, okay. stage 4 or 5. And I was like, you can't start there. You got to go back. And I kept going, I've been in Genesis. I've been studying where God created woman, man and woman. But, you know, right. I was like, we got to go back to the very beginning and define who a woman even is mm-hmm. in God's perspective. Everything God has done has been for a reason and a purpose and a design. He didn't do anything haphazardly, accidentally.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the design behind woman in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm going to get into. Now, be fair, from what I understand, Mike Winger's more extensive stuff, he does this very thing. So I'm not saying he skipped it. I'm just saying what I read or what I saw of him didn't cover that, so I felt burdened to go back and do that. So that's what I'm going to do now.
And this is timely because, as we know, the world's going crazy. And
yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of non-truth out there right now.
Yeah.
People saying that, you know, a man can be a woman and mm. all of these kind of things. And
you're getting ahead of me, Brad. Jeez, I'm going to talk.
I'm just saying it's very timely and it's important. And if someone is doing the research to go back to what God is saying he wanted from specifically for the man and for the woman, I feel this is important, especially during those current times.
Mm-hmm. No, that's exactly one of the things I was going to point out. It's important because, and that's one of the reasons. Why is this important? Because Satan is trying to pervert a lot of things
mm-hmm.
that in this world in order to dilute our picture of heavenly and spiritual things.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things before I go on, it's important right now that at this time and this podcast, before you go on, I am not going to get into what a woman's place in ministry is. So if that's what you're looking forward to, I ain't going to cover it. I'm not even going there. So sorry, I'm not even going to discuss that issue. I'm going before that. So we're going to get into the foundational level here. I'm not going to talk about anything else but the very beginning. But again, why is this important? Now, Larry, you don't know, but everyone who's listening and Brad mm-hmm. knows, one of my goals in this going back into Genesis is mm-hmm. that I'm trying to show that God had a purpose in everything, and everything he laid out was exactly for a plan, and everything physical
mm-hmm.
that God did in the Old Testament mm-hmm. has a spiritual significance.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm trying, and Romans 1:20, King James Version says,
mm-hmm.
for the invisible things of him, from the creation of the world, and that's what we're talking about in Genesis, the creation of the world. Right. But the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So as I've said many times in my podcast, the physical, everything physical that God set up, not the perverted things, not the corrupted things, but everything that God set up is there to reveal a spiritual truth.
Right.
Is if God, and this is a perfect, I'm glad you brought it up, Brad. So we need to correctly see the physical things of God in order to get a correct understanding or picture of the spiritual things of God. So for example, if you have a father-son relationship, now you grew, you had a father? I don't know your situation. Yes. Did you have a father?
Stepdad, yeah.
Okay. So now Brad's situation, he lived without a father, you know, growing up.
Really?
So
I had father figures later in life, in late teens. But yeah, so the majority of my life I was raised by my mother, who, to make a long story short, she got clean and sober, and we had a great relationship for the last few years of her life.
Okay.
About the last decade of her life, but my childhood was, we lived in a lot of different households. Never really any men or role models, so I kind of had to. I looked at society to try to figure out what is expected of a man, until I was blessed with a gentleman named Greg Gall, who was a social worker. And he came in, and from that point on, kind of started me on my whole journey.
Right.
He was a good Christian man, and he started planting the seed.
Right.
And so I eventually got to where I am today. But yeah, no, sorry, that was just a quick,
good.
Quick
That's good. It's because good to know that.
I had a loving Christian family, and my dad, I'm very blessed with who my dad was, but if you have a father-son relationship in the physical, you see your dad, you literally experience your dad every day. And then when you're told God is your heavenly father, you as a child go, oh, well, I know what a dad is.
Right.
My dad loves me. My dad protects me. My dad cares for me.
Right.
That's God. Oh, wow. And you can see that, right?
Right.
Now, from my perspective, this was amazing to me. I don't know how many times I'd said, oh, my father, I pray, my father, my father, my father.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, one day, several years into my Christian journey, I went, my father. And I just stopped. And I had to go, wait a minute. I've been complaining my whole life about not knowing my father.
Mm.
And I have the best father.
Amen.
It just, that day was one of the big highlights of my Christian journey, because so much love and praise and immediately came out of me,
right,
knowing that I had a father all the time.
Yeah.
And I even been calling him father, but it just didn't dawn on me until one day randomly the Spirit, goes, hey, Brad.
Yeah, that's really amazing, because as you were explaining your situation, it was coming to my mind that God is the father to the fatherless.
And
I was thinking that, and then you just said it, so that's awesome.
Says he's close to widows, orphans, the fatherless.
Right.
And so I even have a special relationship with him as my father, because he's even closer to that situation.
So you can understand, so Brad, in your experience, you can understand, and we can logically understand, if you had a loving father who cared for you growing up, you can still logically understand how if someone had a father who beat them, or someone had a father who was absent, left them, we can understand how then someone turns around and says, God is your father. That person might say, well, then I don't want him.
Right.
Because my father beats me. And if God is that, I don't even want to go there.
Yeah.
So you can see how that perverted sense, I believe Satan has tried to eliminate the man, the father, from the household for years.
Absolutely.
For that, among other reasons. But that's one of the reasons. For the same reason, he's trying to dilute what a woman is. Because among other things, not the only thing, but are we the bride of the Messiah? Are we the bride of Christ?
Right.
Well, if we're the bride and he's the bridegroom, and we can't even define what a woman is, then how can we determine that relationship clearly?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, one thing I've come across is recently is the devil does not like men, but he extremely hates women. He extremely hates women. And the thing is, you know, when the whole incident happened in the garden, and the God spoke to them about he'll bruise their heel, but the seed of the woman will bruise his head, you know, because when Adam called her the mother, you know, of everyone that's going to be born, that was Adam when he prophesied to her. That's basically what he said.
Right? Yeah.
So the whole thing about Satan was, oh, so this whole race of people that's coming, because this Adam person who I know of prophesied this, but he didn't go after Adam. He went after Eve. So Eve was the greater threat.
Right.
You know, she's the greater threat of this thing. So he really hates her more than he dislikes men.
Which proves, like, another timely question is, can a man be pregnant? No. Satan, even Satan himself says, if I get rid of the woman, then we're done. Because
That's, you know, that's one of the important reasons why I felt like I needed to get into this. Let's define, how does God see a woman? What did he create a woman to be? Who is a woman prophetically? Who is a woman, you know, the spiritual picture of what God designed there?
Right.
So the first thing I'm going to get into, and Brad is going to recognize some of this and go, oh, I know where he's going. But Ruach HaKodesh. Now that's Hebrew. Do you know what that stands for?
No, I don't know much Hebrew.
That's okay. I just didn't want to try to explain something. You're like, I already know that.
Oh, no.
But Ruach HaKodesh is the Hebrew ears. From where we get the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Right. So it's the Hebrew for Holy Spirit.
Right, okay.
Ruach HaKodesh. Now, one thing real quick, I've just noticed. I don't know if you guys have noticed, if you get in Strong's Concordance, if you're looking up things like that. Every time there's a noun, Brad, have you noticed this? Every time there's a noun, it always says it comes from this verb. And I don't know if that's a Hebrew thing or just Strong's Concordance pointing it out. So if anyone who speaks fluent Hebrew, go ahead and leave a comment and let us know. I just noticed that very often, almost always, in Strong's Concordance, it'll say noun meaning this, but it comes from this verb. Do the verbs always, if you know Hebrew, let us know. Do the verbs come first and then the noun, it grew off of that? I don't know. But
that's interesting. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm going to do that a lot here as I go over these words.
Okay.
I've been primarily working in the Greek.
Yeah, because you're in Revelation.
But no, I had not noticed that. Okay. That is interesting.
But Strong's Concordance number 7307 is Ruach, and it makes a note. It comes from 7306, a verb meaning to blow, in other words, to breathe. So the noun 7307 Ruach means breath or wind. It also means a sensible or violent exhalation. Figuratively, it means life, anger, unsubstantiality, by extension, a region of the sky, and by resemblance, a spirit, but only that of a rational being. So you can't say, like, I've got fire, I've got determination, I've got spirit. That's not Ruach. A Ruach is an actual entity that is spiritual. So this is where we get Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach is spirit. Right? Ha is a word that means literally the. So it's Strong's Concordance 1888. It corresponds to 1887. And essentially they both mean the same thing. They're just different variations. One is pronounced ha. The other can be pronounced hey. But they're the same word. It means lo or behold. It is also the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet and can literally be translated directly as the.
Okay.
So Ruach HaKodesh is spirit, the. And this is why in the Hebrew, you'll see Ha Satan. That's where we get Satan. It's literally
Satan,
Ha is the.
Right.
Satan is deceiver. So that's where we got in the English Satan,
right?
But it's literally in Hebrew, it's the deceiver.
Okay.
So Kodesh, Strong's Concordance 6944, and again, it comes from a verb 6942, Kadash, which means to be, to make, or to pronounce something as clean. So the noun Kodesh means a sacred place or thing. a consecrated thing, a dedicated thing, a hallowed thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it means holiness or most holy. So, Ruach HaKodesh, the literal translation would be Spirit, the most holy. So in English, grammatically, we just changed it to be the Holy Spirit,
right, the Holy
to fit
Spirit.
Our grammatical structure.
Right.
So that's the definition.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the cool things, did you know about this? I don't know if we've talked about it, or if you knew about it, talked about it in Wednesdays, or you knew about it before, mm-hmm. but every Hebrew letter also has a corresponding word picture.
Yes.
Did you know, you knew about that?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I'm familiar with that.
So now, but one of the word pictures, this is Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the word picture from just that name, the Holy Spirit? And this is one of the things I got. This is really cool. The nails of Yeshua, Jesus, set us apart. Behold the completed way of life out of destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And here's another word picture that you can get from it. The nails of Yeshua were applied to the wall. Behold, the end result was an open door through that wall leading us out of destruction.
Mm-hmm.
So the cool thing about this is that the Holy Spirit, what's the Holy Spirit's purpose? To open our eyes and reveal who Jesus is.
Yeah, he reveals Jesus.
And in the word picture of the very name, mm-hmm. Holy Spirit, it glorifies and testifies to what Jesus did for us.
Right.
I just thought that was really cool.
Yeah, that is
good.
Cool.
Yeah. That's good.
Those are the goosebumps I get when we talk about that.
But now, there's one thing I left out of that whole definition.
Mm-hmm.
It's that Ruach in Hebrew is feminine.
Okay.
Ruach is a feminine noun.
Right.
And in fact, every pronoun that involves the Holy Spirit is feminine. It's mm-hmm. always she or her. Mm-hmm. It's not he or him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to read you something from, I don't have it on me. Where's my Bible? Ah, well, that's okay. Oh, it's in my bag.
I'll get it.
Don't worry. I was just going to show it. Because I always talk about reading from the Hebraic Roots version.
Mm-hmm.
That's it right there. So in the introduction in here, I've got it written down. I'm not going to open it up. But in the introduction to the Hebraic Roots version, the writer of it writes, quote, "And while there are no true adjectives in Hebrew, nouns are used as adjectives. Noun modifiers must agree in gender with the noun. Now the Hebrew word ruach is grammatically feminine, as is the phrase Ruach HaKodesh. This is matched by the role of the Ruach HaKodesh as comforter.
Mm-hmm.
For example, John 14:16, "And I will ask of my Father, and he will give you another comforter that will be with you forever." And the identification of the comforter with Yahweh acting as a mother. See Isaiah 66:13, "As one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you." Now in English, the Ruach is often referred to as he or it, as mm-hmm. also in the Greek New Testament. However, this seems very odd indeed to the Semitic mind. Now it is clear that the gender of the Ruach has been revised in many passages of the Aramaic to agree with the Hellenistic concept of the Holy Spirit as being either a he or an it.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, the Peshitta Aramaic of Romans 8:16 opens with, "And she, the Ruach, gives testimony." End quote. Now what he was referring to there, in case you didn't know, the Peshitta Aramaic, there's many ancient manuscripts
mm-hmm.
that we get the Bible from.
Right,
the Peshitta Aramaic is one of those ancient manuscripts
okay.
that they pieced together the Bible, that kind of thing.
Like the Dead Sea Scrolls or something like
that? That kind of thing, yeah. Okay. So that's one of them that they put the Bible together. So why am I pointing this out? Because we tend to think of God as masculine.
Mm-hmm.
Due to, correctly, the other two parts of Yahweh being portrayed as Father and Son.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an incorrect portrayal of the Holy Spirit as a He.
Mm-hmm.
We do need to understand, I'm not saying God is woman, I'm mm-hmm. not saying God is a man. Mm-hmm. We need to understand God has no literal gender the way we think of gender in the flesh. But we also need to understand God set up the physical reality of male and female for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And what was that reason? That's what we're getting into. So let me say again, God gave us physically easy to understand examples of spiritual truths. In the gender differences of mankind, we see different elements of who God is.
Mm-hmm.
So the Ruach, it's important, in my perspective, it's important to understand the femininity of all that is. And we're going to get into why here in the creation of man. So now, Genesis 1:26 through 27. Before I go on, yeah. Anything anyone want to say about that whole bit? Or should I just go on?
I would say go on for now.
Okay.
That's good. Genesis 1:26.
Genesis 1:26 and 27.
All
right. Again, I'm reading from the Hebraic Roots version. Uh-huh. You guys are probably reading from King James or NIV mm-hmm. or something like that, mm-hmm. which is cool. So I'm certain your version says, and God said.
Yeah.
Okay. So my version says, and Elohim said.
Right, right.
Now.
But mine does have a concordance, and it does show Elohim.
Good. Okay. So Elohim, now you know, I believe you know, Elohim literally translated is gods.
Gods,
plural.
Yeah, plural. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
now, when English translated it into God, singular, mm-hmm. it's not incorrect in the sense that we understand the fullness of the Godhead being one entity,
right?
And the triune and all that. So I'm not trying to say the English screwed up, but there is an importance to understanding that in the original, God described himself
mm-hmm.
in this way as mm-hmm. Elohim. He did not say Eloah, the singular version.
Mm-hmm.
He said, and Elohim said, which means the fullness of the Godhead
mm-hmm.
was in on this. And Elohim, all of them together, if you want to think of it that way, said,
mm-hmm.
let us,
yeah,
plural,
right there. Yeah.
make man in our, plural,
mm-hmm.
image, after our likeness, plural,
right.
and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Now, just for the sake of time, I'm going to say from when I repeat this, this is all unimportant to what I'm talking about, so every time I say this again, I'm just going to say, and let them have dominion over everything I've created, and I'm going to move on.
Okay.
But now this is important again. And Elohim, again, it's repeating, Elohim, plural, created man in his,
mm-hmm.
singular, own image. In the image of Elohim, plural, created he, singular, him. Male and female created he, singular, them. Grammatically, this makes no sense unless you understand the plurality of the Godhead mm-hmm. in one.
But one thing I want to just interject about that is in my studies of you know, concordance and these types of things,
mm-hmm.
the particular words you've just, you know, highlighted are not underlined with a definition. So some words man has just put in to make it flow, but there's not a specific word that has been put in. Like for instance, in the beginning of Genesis 1, it says, and God said, I'm talking about specifically the King James Version, and has nothing on there to highlight to see what the Hebrew version of and is, with the description. It ain't there,
right.
You know? And same thing with that. As we go along, as you saying at verse 127, so God created man, but in his own, one of them is, what do you call it when it's kind of tilted to the side, as far as English goes?
Italics?
Yeah,
italics.
It's a word for that. But in his own is not underlined at all to get a definition in Hebrew of what it means.
Okay.
So it appears more it's just been put in for those who speak English to have a fluid reading, although it may not be correctly accurate.
I wish I should have. If you go to Bible Hub,
mm-hmm.
I should have included it here, and I didn't. But Bible Hub, it's amazing. They will include the actual Hebrew line by line, and then put the translation
word
for word, line by line across.
Yeah.
So that's really cool.
Right.
And they will put, what they will do is they will say, it means exactly this, and they won't put brackets or italicized. They will just literally say, this is what the word itself is directly translated to.
Right.
So if, like you said, sometimes it will say like, like let's for say, for example, in the actual Hebrew, it said, they will have dominion over the fish of the sea. The actual Hebrew said, they will have dominion over fish, sea. You know, and I'm making this up. I don't know.
Right, so but I understand where you're going.
In English, it will be parentheses of the.
Right, yeah.
Because that's how we would understand
That's how we would understand it.
But the Hebrew, it would have just been understood to mean that. So, yes, I know that that's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, what he's, what they're saying here is the pronouns he, his, us, our, that is what they're saying. And I don't have word for word here on hand. Again, check BibleHub.com if you're interested to see a direct translation.
Yeah, I've been there before. I understand that. Yeah.
But I'm going to correspond this to Genesis 5, 1 and 2 because it reiterates it. This is the book of the generations of Adam in the days that, again, Elohim, plural, created man. And even if the he, the him, the them maybe is wrong, we definitely have Elohim being defined.
Yes.
In the likeness of Elohim. So in other words, in the likeness of the fullness of the Godhead, not just one being. In the likeness of God's made he, singular, him. Male and female created he, them. And blessed them and called their name Adam in the day they were created. Now, maybe you're right that those he's are interjected by the English.
Yeah.
And they're not there and directly understood. But the point I'm trying to get, really, is that man, Adam, was created in the fullness of the image of God. And as we've just seen, the Ruach HaKodesh, the feminine side, is included.
Yes, I agree with 100%.
So that's what I'm trying to get you. When man was created, he was in the fullness, in that singular being, in the fullness of the Godhead. So again, we go back to the physical reveals the spiritual. Now, I'm not about to get into right now what the Trinity involves. Some people say, well, it's three distinct beings and they're all unified as one. Some people say, no, it's one being with three personalities or whatever, all that kind of thing. I'm not going to go there. I'm not, if you feel like it, you can. I'm not going to stop you. But I, that my point right here is to recognize there is a multiplicity to it that is unified regardless of the state or the manner of that. That's one of those things that maybe God will lay it on my heart later, but right now my idea is just kind of like, hey, I trust God. I'll find out when I get to heaven exactly what it's like.
Amen.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, and by trying to figure it out and debate it, we're limiting what he's capable of anyway. So he's, whether he's is three single individuals or he's one and all at the same time or whatever, if we're debating it, we're going to be putting a limit on him to try to figure it out.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have a limit. So.
Yeah. Unless God says, this is it. Don't let anyone confuse you with anything else. Right. Then I'll stand on that because he explained it.
Right.
But my point is we definitely have Elohim, the fullness of the Godhead, saying, let's make this man in the image of all of us. So in Adam, we have that picture. We have one being, but within that being, we have the fullness of the Godhead.
Right.
So we had masculine and feminine
within
a single being.
Yes.
Now, I want to go back and reread those verses, but this time focus on the man, not God. So when Elohim said, let us make man, now that word man is Adam.
Right.
In the Hebrew, it's Adam.
Right.
And I think you know this, but you know, every time, almost every time you see man or Adam in Genesis, it's in the Hebrew, it's the word Adam. So let us make Adam in our image, after our likeness,
mm-hmm.
and let them,
mm-hmm.
plural,
mm-hmm.
have dominion over everything, blah, 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 blah. And Elohim created man in his own image. In the image of Elohim, the fullness of the Godhead, created he him, mm-hmm. singular. Male and female created he them. It right. repeats itself.
Right.
But again, we see in the single man, he calls him, singular, and he calls him them.
Right.
So we see the male and female in the one being.
Yep.
And if you say, no, this second part, this just refers to the fact that God has planned on making woman later,
mm-hmm.
and he's just thinking ahead. No, we'll go to Genesis 5:2, and he says, in the day,
mm-hmm.
the one day, the one moment, the one time that Elohim created man,
mm-hmm.
in the day that Elohim created man, in the likeness of Elohim, made he him, male and female created he them,
mm-hmm.
and it says, and blessed them, and called their name Adam.
Right, right.
So Adam, the singular being, was the male and the female were both Adam.
Mm-hmm.
He called their name Adam.
Right.
Now that's going to be very important for
Adam.
Later, because she's going to get her name changed. And it's not to Eve. That comes even later. She's not named Eve until after the fall.
Okay.
So again, just pointing out, Elohim creates man in his own image, in the fullness of the image of Elohim. He creates this Adam, the single being, in the image of Elohim, not Eloah.
Mm-hmm.
The single man, Adam, was made in the image of God's plural.
Right.
So that's important.
Right, right.
Anything anyone want to throw in before I move on?
Well, I very much see that, you know, because eventually we understand that God brought the female man, Eve, out of Adam. So he was in, she was in there, you know, meaning that plurality of a person, we look at Adam, you know, many times we look at Adam, it's a man sitting over there.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't think of Eve until she's sitting over there.
Right.
But actually, they're all already created together in him. Because even as the Bible says, man was created a little lower than the angels. A little lower. Not completely different, but just a little lower, you know?
Uh-huh.
Whereas the same thing, there's a plurality of spirit that goes from God the Father to cherubim, seraphim, and to humans, men, male and female man,
uh-huh.
you know, that's a part of Elohim. You know, there's a little bit going on all the way through all that where God is represented, you know, in his fullness, but it's kind of like in your fullness, but partial at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. You're going where I'm heading, and I'm glad to hear it.
Well, I see that. I'm seeing it as we're talking about it. It's kind of showing in my spirit what's happening here. So it's all good. It's all good.
So now, again, man, we've discussed the Strong's Concordance number 120, Adam,
mm-hmm.
that we translate in Hebrew Adam,
mm-hmm.
and it means a human being. Individually or the species, as in mankind. But did you know it can also mean hypocrite?
Mm.
Adam also means a common sort or person of very low degree.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So Adam can stand for basically a hypocritical loser, mm-hmm. if you want to think of it. Yeah,
me can stand for me.
If you're playing chess, Adam is the pawns.
Okay.
If you have a kingdom, Adam is the peasants. Adam is the lowest tier
mm-hmm.
on the board. Adam is a common, low degree hypocrite. That's what the word Adam can also mean. Now that's going to come in very mm-hmm. important in a minute here.
Boy, it makes sense hearing that when I spoke of that scripture that says when God was talking about thou has created man a little lower than the angels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, seeing that we have all this celestial stuff, you know, man is kind of bi celestial because we live physically and spiritually at the same time. We're just in both of it.
I like that term, bicelestial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna steal that from you.
It's okay. but you know, seeing that, because I have never heard it explained at all about Adam or Adam meaning anything to do with hypocrite. Uh-huh. Although when I hear it, I'm thinking, it makes me think of this. You have Adam and Eve together. Eve's the helper, which that does not mean that she's lower than he is.
Right.
Because she got something going on that he needed help with that he couldn't produce it by himself.
Yeah.
She got something else going on, you know. But in that, when I think of a hypocrite thing, I'm like, well, Adam just really just stood there and watched her eat of his fruit, you know. And I'm also thinking that she was deceived. And we know when a person is deceived, you think you're doing right, but you just don't know because you're doing wrong because you're deceived.
Uh-huh.
So you don't know you're doing wrong. You think you're doing the right thing, uh-huh. you know. But he was not. And as always, he was not as he, what's a hypocrite do? They know the right thing, they don't do it.
Yeah. You say one thing, you do another.
Sense. Yeah, it makes uh-huh. sense. All right.
No, I'm so glad you keep interjecting this because I'm like, oh, yeah, that's the next thing I'm going to talk about. That is so, and I love it when that happens.
Yeah.
So, just, again, want to notice here, fullness of the Godhead, the masculine Father, the feminine Holy Spirit, this is what God's made in his image when he mm-hmm. creates Adam. Mm-hmm. Now I'm talking about Adam and Eve, even though she's not Eve yet, named Eve yet.
Right.
But that's the way you guys know who I'm talking about, the male, the female.
Male, the female.
Truly right. were created together. They mm-hmm. were both in the original Adam. Both were the original Adam. God blessed their name and called them Adam.
Right.
And we're talking about Adam. So they are both hypocrite, lowly sort. They are both mm-hmm. the singular being Adam. Together. We see the fullness of God, not just in the male side.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's skip ahead. Genesis 2:18.
Hey, real quick.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Go for it.
So this is just a thought that's popping in my head right now. Mm-hmm. It could mean nothing, but I still wanted to share it. Could this be why? So traditionally, man is the protector, provider. Woman is the motherly type, the comforter. She takes care of more of the emotional stability of mm-hmm. the family. Man is more of the, I'm going to take on the physical threats, or I'm going to provide the physical things we need. But a man can also comfort his child.
Mm-hmm.
A man can do some of the things that
yeah.
the woman can. The woman can do some of the things that man can. Get between a mother and her child, and you'll find out that she's a lot stronger and more capable than you might think, you know. Mm-hmm. She can physically yeah. do...
Mama bear take you out.
Protect you, you yeah. know? So, just the thought is the reason that we can cross those lines out of kind of our normal... Is it because we were all one at one point? You know?
I hadn't thought about it that way.
You know, it's just a thought. Mm-hmm. It's nothing that we can prove or say, but it just makes me wonder if, you know, because we weren't created separate from each other. So we mm-hmm. still have the ability in us to do some of the things that are traditionally more feminine or masculine mm-hmm. or whatever, even though our role is to be the thing that we are.
I think in looking at it from what you said, a lot of it about our role and looking at it that way, to me, is what we have come to understand by looking at the physical aspects mm-hmm. mostly, not by the spiritual,
mm-hmm.
because... Like when Adam was created all together, him and Eve together, it's a spirit thing. Just like the Bible tells us in Christ Jesus, there is neither bond or free, male or female.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You see, it's not
right.
there.
Yeah, it does.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So even in that, you know, we look at things from, we're way from Genesis and all this stuff. I'm just talking about just life.
Yeah. Right?
And we look at the natural aspects of a man being stronger physically than a woman. But in actuality, you know, there are spiritual things about women that far surpass men.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, just the spiritual aspect of you know, if you meet a lady, you marry, you meet another lady, oh, how you doing? And your wife goes, why she look at you like that? You go, look like what?
Yeah.
I saw how she looked at you. You know, how that kind of stuff happens.
Oh, yeah. We were just talking about this the other day at work. Someone, a girl and a guy were walking through, and a separate girl goes and tells the guy, you smell good. Mm-hmm. And she leaves and they separate. And the girl of the two goes, she was flirting with you. Mm-hmm. And the guy's, no, she wasn't.
Yep.
Yes, she was. Yes, she was. Yep. She was flirting. And this became a thing among work. We started talking to everyone. If you know,
right.
Okay, if someone says they you smell good, is that flirting or not? And every guy went, no, that's not right. flirting. And every girl went, yeah.
yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's flirting.
Yeah.
That's flirting. Yeah. You know, is that kind of what you're talking
yes,
about? It's like
yes,
the woman knows.
Yes, because there is, you know, there is spiritual before there is natural. You know,
oh,
and,
yeah.
and everything. They're
yeah.
spiritual
oh,
first.
Oh, I said it shouldn't be called supernatural and us
right.
natural. It should be natural and us subnatural.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Which I just had that experience with somebody when I was in Michigan just recently. We were talking about God, and something came up about God being supernatural. I said, yeah, well, God is supernatural. He said, no, he's not. He said, God natural. He was here first. And I was like, what? It changed my brain. So I'm thinking, he who was here first, you know, all things came from him.
Uh-huh.
So it's not that he's supernatural. He is what the naturally super is. He's natural. This
yeah.
is, you know, this is the blueprint. Whatever
yeah.
comes out of that is lesser.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that makes sense to me. And the whole thing about, you know, the woman-man thing, you know, because as, you know, as I've learned of God and what's going on as far as male and female, just naturally, when you go to churches, it's more women there than men.
Yeah.
This is a natural point.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, it's all these women. And I have to be thinking, where the men at? Where the men at? You know? And they have things going on, and they have women's intuition, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
So whether they're in Jesus in the church or they're just alive on earth, women still have that spiritual thing going on of discernment, you know?
Yeah.
That's beyond. It's just a step beyond a guy. You know, it's a step beyond that. Because you can have a married couple and they ain't saved. Gonna have a married couple say, but that woman gonna know.
Yeah,
she gonna know there's something going on.
And I think you're right, Brad, in the sense that if we take this as a picture of who God is, if you say God the Father Yahweh and God the we'll call it Mother for the sake of separation, the Holy Spirit, are they both God? Do they both love you? Do they both, you know, if you want to think of it that way, do they both have similar? Maybe they have roles that are defined and they help, you know, the Holy Spirit was sent to us for a reason. There's a
right.
purpose and a design. But does that mean that God the Father doesn't share some of those attributes and that God the quote-unquote Mother doesn't share some of the attributes, even if there are defined roles? And do we see that in mankind?
Well, because, I mean, the Holy Spirit, if we just focus on the Holy Spirit, is sent to comfort us.
Yeah.
But also, and I can speak from my own personal experiences, when I've been under demonic attack, I bring up the Holy Spirit, it's gone. It's protecting me.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
it's comforting me when I need it, but it's also protecting me. It's doing the more masculine
Whoops.
Idea
I'm
of
shaking
what
the
it
table.
Needs to do. It's being the mama bear saying, back off.
Yeah.
You know.
So now, let's get into exactly what we just great lead in. Genesis 2:18, and Yahweh Elohim said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Now, helpmeet is old English.
Mm-hmm.
When the King James came out, it essentially means what we would today translate as mate.
Mm-hmm.
Helpmeet means a helpful companion or partner, especially
right.
referring to one's husband or wife. Now, the Hebrew of that word is Strong's Concordance 5828, azer.
Azer.
And again, it comes from a verb,
yep.
5826, azar, which means to surround.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, to protect or aid.
Or aid, yeah.
So the noun, azer, means an aid.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so think about that, what we've just been talking about. God wants to give Adam an aid. And as we see it play out, he gives the male, Adam, the female. So the woman is the man's aid. And we spoke about this when we did the Genesis, and we talked about it. That word aid, taken from a word that means to surround and protect.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about at that time how we tend to see, well, the man is a protector. Take the sword and the shield and get
right.
behind me. I will
right.
save you.
Right.
And I was bringing this up when I was studying the Genesis originally. I brought this up and I was like, wow, as I'm realizing this, I talked to my wife. Mm-hmm. And I said, that's amazing that he would talk about the woman in this way. And my wife just goes, yeah, it's the woman that says, get your butt off the roof. You're mm-hmm. going to kill yourself. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. You know, don't be doing that. And the man kind of does, I'm going to do this stupid thing. And the woman goes, no, you're not getting here.
Oh, yeah. Even in encouraging, which males usually call nagging.
Yeah.
But the encouragement from a woman, you know, get back to the, it's always get back to the task. Or you said you was going to do this.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't do it. But you said you're going to do this yesterday. Is it going to be weak? And he's like, ah, I can't take this nagging. No, it ain't nagging. You know, it's leading. It's protecting. You know, it's aiding.
Yeah.
It's something that came out of us, because actually, when I say out of us, you know, we can't look at it like male is the main object in this, because God put them both in together.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing in my mind is that God separated some things to have order on how things work, but not so much that he's putting one above another,
right?
But he's separating some things, so and as they walk out in their life roles, you know, it comes back together as they use it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes. And that's part of the whole thing, is he wants it, the design, to come back together. That's
right.
The separated are intended to come together, and that's part, mm-hmm. that's love. That's a picture of mm-hmm. love has to be joined together again. Mm-hmm. You can't love unless there's something to love.
Right.
Well, and being a man, when I feel loved and supported,
mm-hmm.
I'm more likely to do something that I would be uncomfortable to do. And mm-hmm. if it's something that's necessary to be done, mm-hmm. I can face it more confidently because I'm feeling the love and support of mm-hmm. my spouse mm-hmm. or, you know, a woman
right.
in general, just the encouragement to get something done that needs to be done. You know, it's a good system. And it's the same kind of idea with the Holy Spirit. There are things I don't necessarily want to do.
Yes.
But if it's comforting me and it's showing me why in love and
uh-huh.
why it's important,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to be more likely to go, okay, I need to get this done. I'm filling that support system.
So God says, it's not good man should be alone. I will make a aid for
mm-hmm.
him.
Mm-hmm.
And what we see, we've seen before, since Adam, the singular being, fullness in the image of God, the feminine side of the God is the Holy Spirit. It's important to see here, this is prophetic of the Holy Spirit being given to mankind
mm-hmm.
as a surrounding protective aid. Romans 8:26 says, thus also the Spirit aids our infirmity. For we do not know what is right to pray for, but the Spirit prays on our behalf with groans that are not describable.
Mm-hmm.
Luke 24:49 says, and I will send to you the promise of my Father, but remain in the city, Yerushalayim, Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
until you be clothed, surrounded, enveloped with power from on high. So
mm-hmm.
we see the Holy Spirit in terms being defined, in terms of surrounding, protecting,
right.
aiding, comforting.
Mm-hmm.
So what he's saying, when he says it is not good that the man should be alone, we're seeing Adam is getting Eve. But what we should also be saying is humanity is being given the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So again, another reason why this is important, because in the physical, we should be seeing a spiritual interpretation.
Right, right. Yes.
Now, I'm going to go on.
Okay.
Genesis 2:21-24, if you'd like to go there.
Yep. Genesis 2?
2:21-24. And Brad knows kind of what's coming here as I talk about it, so I might get a little emotional. I've kind of tried to get the tears out before when I rehearse this, but this one hits me.
All right.
There's a lot here. And Yahweh Elohim caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the place with flesh instead thereof. And the rib which Yahweh Elohim had taken from the man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. There are several things I want to pull out of this section of verses. The first one is the word rib.
Mm-hmm.
And it is Strong's Concordance number 6763. Yeah. And again, comes from a verb. It is the noun is selah or salah.
Selah, something like that.
Well, the phonetic pronunciation that I looked up said selah.
Selah, yeah, T-S-E-L-A.
T-S-E-L-A is how it would be spelled, but the phonetic, that would be pronounced say la. Or it can be pronounced sa-la. And it comes from 6760 tha-la, meaning to curve.
Yep, curved.
Now, guys, isn't that cool that we're talking about male and female and everything, and he takes the rib, and the definition of rib is curvy.
Yeah.
And that just struck me as, oh, thank you, God.
Curved.
Making it curved. So rib, the noun, means rib as in something curved.
Mm-hmm.
So he took the... I mean, I just started laughing in joy. He took the curvy out of man and gave us the curvy parts.
And, you know, one thing that comes to my mind of this, when it says curved,
uh-huh.
is I think of the eight parts of Adam, of Eve,
uh-huh.
because I think what I saw inside of my brain was a curve, like the man is here. But this curve is what's enveloping him. It's a surrounding. It's a curve there. You know,
now,
with the protection.
Literally, the rib as curved, it can mean literally a rib of the body.
Right.
But it can figuratively be of a door, like around you.
Okay.
It can be a rib, like a... but it can also mean a side.
Mm.
Literally of a person.
Mm-hmm.
But figuratively of an object, of the sky, especially a floor or a ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be like a surrounding, like we're in this house, we're protected.
Right. That's what I was seeing inside, a protection, you know, a curve. I just saw something going, like curving around. Where this, but, you know, even our own ribs would take care of the vital parts on the inside.
They're protecting.
You know, protecting the stuff that really has to be encased all the time.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah. Imagine if your heart or your lungs were just like on your shoulder arm, you would punch that. And, oh my gosh, I can't breathe. You know?
Yeah.
Or you just gave me a heart attack. You know?
Yeah.
Now it can also mean a side chamber of a house.
A side chamber.
Yeah. Now I'm gonna go into all of those a little bit here.
Yeah.
But first of all, let's talk about the fact that it can mean a side, literally of a person.
Mm-hmm.
And we've already talked about this, but here's just another reference to it. This is a picture, again, the physical example of him taking a rib out of man and creating a new being is a picture of the spiritual reality that Yahweh took a piece of himself to make man in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says he made us out of the dust of the earth, but he breathed his breath of life into us, and he put a piece of himself into us. That's what separates us from the animals.
Yeah,
we have Yahweh in us.
Right, and what's very true about that to me is that the Bible says the soul that sins, it shall die. But they don't talk about the spirit dying. It says the spirit goes back to God who gave it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's that part of God that came from him, which is distinctly different from the soul, you know.
So, but what we see here is that he takes a rib out of Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Eve is not a newly created being.
Mm-hmm.
He did not say, Adam, go to sleep while I go make something for you. And he didn't take dust of the earth again and breathe into it and create a second being. He took a piece out of Adam.
Mm-hmm.
The rib is a side of a person. He literally took the feminine side of Yahweh that already existed within Adam.
Right.
And he separated it out.
Yep.
He did not create a brand new being. So when was Eve created? She was created the day Adam was created. They were created on the same day.
So God called them Adam.
Yeah.
So that's when she was created. Yeah.
Now what happens is he separates it out and Adam says she shall be called woman.
Right.
So now she gets a new name. She's no longer Adam. She is woman, and we'll get into the Hebrew for what he calls her here.
Mm-hmm.
But now he gives her a brand new name as she's separated, and that's important too. But what we want to see here is that this is a picture, again, the two parts reuniting in marriage in physical, I can't say the one word or YouTube will block us, even though it's innocent, you know, in this situation.
Okay.
But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Physical intimacy, that is a representation of the reunion that God wants with us.
Mm-hmm.
And Eve was the female, the woman side of Adam separated. It already existed in him. She's not a separate creation. She is not subservient to the male or less than the male in God's eyes. The male is not subservient to or less than the female in God's eyes. Yes, as they go on, I said we're not going to talk about a woman's place in ministry or any of that. There might be roles that God has defined, but it's only, it's not because the woman is less than, it's because God has a picture to represent, to help us in our walk with him. Just like in this army that is his, he might have generals, he might have majors, he might have captains, he might have privates, but the general is not more important than the others. It's just, it's strategic, it's for a purpose. They're all, they should all be family, they should all be, they're all equally loved, equally desired in God's eyes. Each one just has a particular purpose in his plan. But we, in the physical world, we tend to see the generals as, oh, they're the ones we should strive to be. I don't want to be a lowly private. But God might be saying, no, 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 I love you as a private. That's your purpose. You need to conquer. You need, I designed you to march in there and beat that thing in the face. And the general, he might say, I designed you to be, to have wisdom and knowledge and understanding and to guide. And you two need to work together. And that's the way I put you. We tend to see if there are, and I'm not going to get into it right now, there are roles that God designed, but if there are, we need to understand it's not because either one is subservient or less than. It's strategic to get us to see our relationship with God more clearly.
And it's proper, and it is, as the Bible says, things that are done decently and in order. You know, because if we think of John the Baptist, for instance, he was a precursor of Jesus Christ.
But
Jesus said, there is no greater prophet than John the Baptist. But we don't think that kind of way. You know, because John said he can't even untie the, you know, Jesus' shoes. He put him down. But Jesus said, this is the greatest prophet. But then Jesus says, you know, but he who is least among you are the greatest. You know, so God does weave it back to proper scope, to proper, well, I guess I say like an etiquette kind of thing. Where you have Jesus as the top, but them angels, they know who to bow down to, you know. We know what Jesus is, maybe what, let's say 5'10". Let's say he's human, you know. But guess what? We know there's angels that put one foot on the land and one on the sea. This guy 30 feet tall, but Jesus walking to him, walking in front of him, he gonna bow down to the ground. You know, so it ain't that either. But there are, and part of it's what I had a good thing of being understood, standing and being in the military, because that's where I learned things like passive aggression and all this kind of stuff. You know, where you get mad, you have a look on your face, and they're like, look, you get that look off your face, are you gonna suffer because of that? You know. But yeah, I don't want nobody to tell me what to do. And all, but you got to yield to that, you know. Well, the same thing with Jesus. You know, it says he got a name that's above every name that's named. So, yeah, everybody got a name. But guess what? You say this one, it's a difference. And that difference is for our good. You know, it ain't for bad, because he's the God of life. He's where everything come from him. But his name is above all name. You know, not yours. No, Larry's name ain't above all name. Jesus is, you know. And we have what like these angels that we know who are great, Michael and Gabriel, just for instance, you know. But guess what? Who they kneeling down to? Jesus.
You know, if you dare to even bow to them, they'll say, "Hey, stop that."
They'll say, "Stop that."
Not me. There's one greater.
And on the same hand, they, I think his name was, let me see, Mary's sister. Was told Martha? By an angel, that she would have John.
Oh, you're talking not no Mary's no, it's, not his sister, her cousin.
Yes, her cousin.
I can't think of her name. It's the wife of Zechariah. Oh, I lost it.
We know who we're talking about.
We know who we're talking about.
And the thing about this that's interesting, because the angel,
you know, told her what's happening, but her husband didn't believe it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that angel said, "You will not speak again until this come to pass."
Yep.
Uh-huh. And he was shut down for 9 months. He couldn't say nothing.
Uh-huh.
Which is so interesting because, you know, even the angels in their own authority, what they get from God, because all authority comes from God. They don't just come out of nowhere.
Right.
What they can do and can't do come from God.
Right.
But guess what? God is sitting here, and he's dropped his authority on them, and they drop that authority on you, and guess what? Angels kill humans. Angels kill people. And this is because God told them to do it. It ain't sinful for an angel to murder somebody. You know, it's just dumb. Yeah. And so, you know, even just the dynamics of the kingdom and how God puts everything decency and in order, and we have to subject ourselves to that to agree to it. Mm-hmm. You know, whether you don't agree or not really don't matter. You know, it's your own mind. Because like sometimes we think of this person as being so great and this person is being not great and this kind of thing. You know, we have a, what is it called when you give, when you put someone above someone else. Like if you have a rich person and a poor person, you get a rich person the good seat, get a poor person the bad seat. No, right. No respect of persons.
Respect for
yeah, the respect of a person kind of thing that we're told to not do from Jesus.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it's interesting.
He came as the King of Kings and made himself a servant of all.
Right. He made himself a servant of all.
Yeah.
You know, he had no problem bowing down, washing their feet and stuff, and it's something to know.
Yeah.
Well, and it's the rules. So that when we talk about rules, we've seen this in other studies and whatnot too.
Mm-hmm.
God, since this is his creation, he owns the whole thing. He knows every detail. He wrote the blueprint. He knows things that we don't know.
Right.
And so when he says, do it this way, it could be because there's a when they were talking about like hand washing and stuff,
right,
and not when you touch a dead body and then you have to go and separate yourself and do all these kind of things. Well, they didn't know, but God knew there was a thing such as germs.
Right.
You know, he knew that. They didn't. They were just having to do what they were told. But when you are told, hey, follow these rules, well, we don't like that. Our arrogance gets in the way. Our ego gets in the way and says, no, I don't want to follow this set of rules.
Electrical outlet. When my son was he has 2-year-old twins. When my son was 2 years old, that was we called that a no-no. You know, I say, you don't touch that. You know, he didn't have to understand how electricity works.
Right, right.
He just had to understand, do what I say.
Right.
Don't play with that.
Right.
You know, now there's a reason for it that I know of.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of things that God tells us that he knows what's going on.
Yes.
We don't have to know.
Yes.
We just have to obey.
Right.
And be in his will.
And if you do, then your situation is better and you're happier.
You're not flying across the room
right,
your hair sticking up.
Yeah, you know, and that's why obedience is better than sacrifice.
Uh-huh.
You know, because sometimes sacrifice involves us knowing or not knowing about a thing where we want to decide, well, I gotta sacrifice everything. But if you just straight up, yes Lord, do this, don't do this, yes Lord, that's obedience.
Yeah.
You know, and that obedient thing which keeps you in the life of God, whereas sacrifice is usually something going on in the soulish realm, in the mind realm, and it involves pride somewhat too, and whether or not you're going to submit to it or think, is this good enough or is this the right thing? You know, Jesus said, no, I'm the way, the truth, and the life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he's saying he is the way, but God said, okay, do it this way, like he told, let's say, Abraham, sacrifice your son, do it this way.
Yeah.
Abraham said, well, God, I really love my son. How about this sheep over here, you know?
Yeah.
I want something else. But God is like, no, I am. He said, I am the way. I ain't just showing you. He says he is.
Yeah.
So when he tells us, you know, that there is no, it should be no doubt of this is exactly what he said, but we still have that choice on whether we're going to do it that way or not.
Yeah.
And then in your example, it was given to Abraham as righteousness. He was blessed because he did what
he was supposed to do. Yeah, because he obeyed.